Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Community Love Power Show. This is Yah Elohim, and I'm so glad that you're here with us this evening. That was Dejen Kraré, Eritrean music, a young Eritrean youth. So we're going to go all around the world in our music journey here on the Community Love Power Show. Thanks for being a part of the program this evening, and we look forward to continuing connection. Our co-host is here, Dr. Jata Rahim. I'm opening the line for him, and we're going to dive right in. Greetings. Good evening, Dr. Jata.
Good evening. Good evening. Good evening.
Oh, thank you for being here this evening.
My pleasure.
We're going to have a very powerful and to-the-point program because we've had some, precipitous moments since we spoke last week, and that is we have now launched into autumn. So we're going to be talking this evening about what to do in the autumn and what organs, et cetera, to nourish. But before we get started on that illustrious topic, I wanted us to talk a little bit about the upcoming Living Food Certification class coming up on October 8th. Can we just slightly review what we're going to be talking about? The last time we talked about it on the air, we got to cover sprouting and juicing, which is the first class, and we did a little bit about the ancient and modern theory of food, which is the second class, but we didn't get to talk very much about the third or the fourth. So let's start there. Fermenting and dehydrating is the third class. That will be on the 22nd of October. What would we be exploring and learning about hands-on in that particular class?
That's a very exciting class because it deals with fermenting fruits, fermenting grains, fermenting dairy, fermenting vegetables. It's a wonderful, wonderful class. Fermenting things like sauerkraut, kombucha, tempeh, many fermenting aspects are done. When you leave, you're going to have a good knowledge of how to ferment the basic food groups. The whole idea of the fermentation is to put live probiotics in our food.
Okay, so we did touch on it a little bit when we talked about another name for fermenting is probiotics. Is that the advantage of fermenting? Is that it adds healthy bacteria or healthy flora to the body?
Absolutely. It adds the good flora that we need to aid in digestion, the good flora that we need as the first line of defense in our immunity, the good flora we need to work for us when we are lazy or when we're not working. In other words, the ferment eats the sugars in the foods we eat and then gives us the byproduct of that, which is a probiotic value. So you actually, and this is one of the aspects of the class, it's the living foods class, and the living foods is to have a high probiotic value in your daily nutrition. Fermenting does that.
I see. So it sounds like it's an important tool, life strategy, technology, or information to have to promote radiant longevity, because that's actually the mission of the People's Clinic, is to promote radiant longevity. So in taking the fermenting class along with dehydrating, you'll have great tools and knowledge, ability to be able to provide these foods for yourself, your loved one, and to be very creative with it in your own way. What about the dehydrating aspect?
The dehydrating, and by the way, these two topics we're dealing with now are ancient topics, which we've lost a lot of these things. People before would be making probiotic food on a daily basis. But now we incline to go to Publix or whatever the supermarket is in your area. But generally speaking, every house had some probiotic going on or some fermenting going on within the daily life structure. So this brings it back home to us, and we can see the great value in this. Dehydrating part is also an ancient thing. It was used primarily in the harvest time, which we're coming into now in the harvesting, in order to preserve the food that was surplus. And the dehydrating gives us good storage. We just have to rehydrate it a little bit, which means we put back some of the water content in the food before we eat it. So it's a way of, mango season just went by. We had excess mangoes here, so we could have dehydrated the mangoes, had it there at our disposal, and reused that back throughout the year for sugars or minerals or whatever. So the dehydrating class will give you that particular knowledge of the equipment, the procedure, the storage aspect, and how simple it is.
Okay, so a wealth of information, a wealth of hands-on experience, and we would love for you to contact us and find out more information about the class. I'm placed in the chat, I believe I did. Oh, no, I didn't yet. I'm placing in the chat now to be able to register, the Eventbrite link to register, go straight to registration information about the class. So I'm going to go ahead and play the short clip that provides the detailed information, contact information, and then from there we'll launch right into our topic.
Greetings. This is Dr. Jatta.
And this is Yah Elohim. And we are the People's Clinic, home of On Point Acupuncture. Remember, we're the accessible practitioners, available to you via phone, text, email, and social media. Reach out to us, and we will call you back within 24 hours or less. We are so excited about our upcoming Living Foods certification class from October 8th through October 29th of this year. Learn the secrets of coaxing greater nutrition and turning your foods into nutrition powerhouses. Classes include sprouting and juicing on October 8th. October 15th is the classical, ancient, and modern theories of food. On the 22nd of October, we are presenting fermenting and dehydrating, and we are sealing it up with tonic soups, herbs, smoothies, and other delights on October 29th.
We have a lot of hands-on therapy, also an extensive question and answer period after each class, and from this you will gain confidence and self-empowerment.
And all of those who complete the class will receive certification in living foods preparation. That's Saturday, October 8th, 15th, 22nd and 29th at 10 a.m. For more information, check out our website, thepeoplesclinic4tom.com. That's the People's Clinic, the number 4, T like in Tom, O like in Oscar, M like Mary.com. Email us at thepeoplesclinic4tom@gmail.com. Facebook, The People's Clinic 4TOM. And to reach Dr. directly, dial 786-222-9526 regarding therapies and to schedule an immediate appointment. For all questions concerning registration, location, payment, and anything else, dial Yah Elohim, 561-855-0593. Join us. It won't be the same without wonderful you. See you there.
See you. Okay, so there we have it, all the contact information, et cetera. So now we are going to launch right in. As we said at the top of the program, we recently crossed over into the autumn equinox just a few days ago, and we know that one of the things that we do here at the People's Clinic is our forte, our focus is living for the seasons and understanding, overstanding what organs and what organ systems are prevalent during what time of the year in terms of nourishing, cleansing, and detoxing. So we're launching now our autumn cleansing and detoxing, and we're going to talk about it this program, the next program, and we'll see if we need to go any further. Dr. Jata, welcome, and maybe you can start off by just sharing briefly why is it important to even know about the different seasons and the different organs.
Thank you very much. I think we can begin by inhaling and exhaling and focusing the mind. So we can inhale deeply and exhale. Inhale deeply and exhale. These are the functions of the metal aspect of the body, which is the lungs. But the starting point now is that we have been rolling through the seasons of life. We've just left summer and late summer, and we're moving now into fall. We have certain constellations in the heavens, which would denote fall. And also, we have the days are getting shorter as we speak, and the nights are getting longer. We would say that the yang energy, the fire energy, the sun energy is now becoming less, and the night energy, the yin energy, is increasing as we speak. Because we live between the heavens and the earth, we have to be trying to be aware of where we are, that we live between the heavens and the earth, and these seasons affect us. It's sad to say that we're not even in tune with feeling the seasonal change or being aware that things are changing because of the axis of the earth and we're feeling a little cooler. It may be getting a little drier. I'm reaching out to everybody that we can tap into ourselves, take a little time to realize where we are. We're moving on the planet, with the planet, and with the seasons. Sad to say that we have to remind each other of this. Anyway, we're moving into fall. I'd like to backtrack a little bit. In traditional Chinese medicine or Oriental medicine, there are 5 elements, and the elements are the things that are essential to life. One element is water, as we know. The other one is wood, or vegetable growth. The next one is heat from the sun. The next element is the earth. And the final element is metal. These metals provide the substance of the earth. The earth is made from the metals and salts, and these are the things that form structures. Without the metals, the magnesiums, the calcium, the selenium, and these other metals that we have on the periodical table, these are what makes structure and form in the earth. A plant, for instance, if it's missing one metal or one ingredient, may not blossom, may not bloom, because it's missing something that would trigger that action within the actual plant. So metals are very, very, very important. You can imagine that there'd be no telecommunication systems without metals.
Sure.
There'd be no telegraph system without metals. No telephone system without metals. Metals conduct electricity. The wires that connect systems are based upon metals. So it's a very, very, very important part, a very important element are metals. Traditionally speaking, the fall is the metal season, and in this particular way of this particular model of life, metal is akin to the lungs and the colon. These are the organs in the body that would communicate and connect and cause all of the body mind's rhythms to work. In traditional medicine, there is the opposite, the complementary opposites. When you look around at life, you see opposites. You see the night and the day. You see the hot and the cold. You see the high and the low. These are opposites. And these observations shows us that there is harmony in the opposites. The opposites are not there to oppose each other. The opposites are there to complement each other. I'm going to reiterate. The opposites are there to not to oppose each other, but to complement each other. So,
absolutely,
we in our society here think it's confrontational. Male and female is confrontational. Young and old is confrontational. We're here to complement each other. One would have an ability that another one wouldn't have, and if we combine our efforts, we would be able to thrive and accomplish. So within the framework of looking at this axiom within nature of the complementary opposites, the metal element has a complementary opposites in our body also. The two organs that relate to the metal is the lung and the colon. The lung being the solid organ, and the colon, the large bowel, being the empty organ, or the bowel. So one is solid, and one is a bowel, one is empty. That's the complementary opposites within our body for the metal element. Let's have a brief look now at the functions of the lung, or the metal element within our body. Like I say, metals are there to connect, and the lung is given the title as the prime minister, the one who controls the rhythms of the nation. The Chinese had a way of looking at things from an official point of view or a military point of view, but to give you the idea that one particular entity controls the rhythms of the population. So the lung was given the title as the prime minister because each particular rhythm of the body, body-mind rhythm of the body, for instance, let's take respiration, which the lung is very, very, is the master of respiration. Without the breath, there can be no other system that would work. There would be no circulation of the heart. There would be no digestive energy or burning the food we eat. So the lung is, again, the prime minister and the minister that takes the pure air and sends it down. It has a function of grasping the ear and then a descending function of sending it down, where it intermingles with the digestive energy to burn the food we eat. And then the assimilated minerals that's left from the digestion would be circulated by the heart and the blood to the parts of the body that needs the nourishment. So the lung also is one of the highest organs in the body physically. It's right up in the chest area behind the heart, a little bit above the heart. And it's the organ that connects with the outside world for us. In other words, it breathes the air from the outside and brings it in. So it's the highest point in the body. The kidney is the lowest one, which is the water element, which is the lowest part of the body. So you have to imagine now the lung being the one that grasps the pure chi, or they would say the chi from heaven. And the lung is ignited in a newborn. When a newborn is born and that first breath comes, the lung ignites. And it controls and continues to help us until death. Even without our assistance, it's breathing and bringing in air, pure energy, clean chi, and expelling the used energy from the body. In the way of looking at things in Oriental medicine, there are correspondence that we have, and the correspondence are observations gathered from people over millennia that we have. For instance, we know that the lung is a part of the metal organ and the large intestine is a part of the metal element. The large intestine's job, by the way, is to gather and to extract. It gathers the waste, extract the nutrients and the water, and then the waste will come out. There's also an emotional side to these parts of us, and traditional medicine deals with these also.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, the time of the fall is the time of harvesting. We planted our seeds in the springtime, and now we're going to be harvesting the crops before the winter comes, if we lived in a colder climate. We're fortunate in the tropics that we could be replanting now after we harvest, and we can have winter crops down here in the tropics. But up north, everybody's busy galvanizing their resources to harvest the crops so that they wouldn't starve in the wintertime. So the same harvesting energy resources that we have to gather the crops, we have to be, the lung is providing all of those connections within us. So we have to be looking to harvest our emotions, gather the good things from the emotions from the year that we've just gone by, looking back and gathering all these things and storing them so we can move into the next phase of winter with stored information, and we can build on that in the next season. But I'd like to go over a few things about the lungs. The lungs has, it opens to the nose. There's a body orifice or a sense organ that it opens to. It opens to the outside world through the nose. So therefore, dryness or humidity may affect the lungs. So the atmospheric energy outside of us, because the nose opens, the lung opens through the nose, means that as the weather changes, as the heat dissipates and the coldness comes in the fall, we may be inclined, because the nose is the connector from the out to the in, the lung may be susceptible to be attacked by the external forces. For instance, dryness, dampness, and whatever excessive heat could affect the lungs. And the lungs in the fall, as it goes into the winter, is the most susceptible this particular time of the year. That is why it's good to be learning what we can do to fortify the lungs in the time of transition now in the fall, to strengthen it for when the cold weather comes in the winter time. Also, again, we be strengthening the lungs from the emotional part. The lung also has a nourishing effect on the skin and the hair. The pores of the body is actually a breathing mechanism. It breathes with the lungs. If the lung is deficient, if the lung is weak because it has a cold attacking the lungs, the pores wouldn't open, so the person wouldn't perspire.
Mm.
So there's definitely a symbiotic relationship with the pores of the skin and the lungs. The time of the lungs is the autumn, as I said, the fall. There's a color given to the lungs, which is white, and physicians can tell the hue of somebody's face. If it's white looking, they would know, if they're sensitive to this, they would know that the lungs are somehow deficient by the color of the person's skin. Each element has a taste, and the taste of the lungs is pungent. The lung likes aromatic things. It likes to smell, and when things are aromatic, the lungs open more. So we'll be getting into these things in the next class, in the next webinar, as to what things are pungent that the lungs, we could take for the lungs to fortify the lungs, to open the lungs, in the up and coming webinar. any questions, Mama Ya? Mama Ya, any questions?
Well, I was just taking it all in terms of all the things that the lung does and what it's attributed to. So is there any particular place on the body besides the face that there's indication of what's happening in the lung?
Yes, every organ or element in the body has a connecting channel, has a pathway from the organ throughout the body, a highway system that connects the organ to the rest of the body. We call them meridians. The meridian or channel of the lungs runs from the thumb, the medial part of the thumb. We may need a diagram for this. From the thumb, it runs up from the thumb, where the light and the dark skin meet on the thumb, right at the finger there, and it runs up that line, up the forearm, comes up the shoulders and goes into the lungs. Then it connects and runs down internally and connects to the kidney. So along that pathway now that the meridian for the lungs would run, would be telltale signs of pain in that area, or pain in the actual area where the lungs are, which is at the back of the shoulders. So if you're in a cold climate, you should be keeping the back of the shoulders by the shoulder blades warm when you go outside. Put a towel there or some silk and put your coat over that to protect the lungs, because the lungs are called the tender organ. They're very tender.
Yes. Well, we're actually at the top of the hour. I kind of got you in mid-thought. And so we will be continuing this on Wednesday, I think it would be the 28th at 6:30 p.m. We'll be continuing the conversation about the lung, and we will start to move into a conversation about the colon, and see how they're all connected. Also, what foods nourish those organs, and what other things nourish with chi, builds chi in those organs. So you don't want to miss it, because this is information that we could use right now, right here, right where we are. So we look forward to reconnecting with you on Wednesday at 6:30. You can always catch the archives of this program almost immediately as after the end of the episode by going to blogtalkradio.com/dimensional-healing. Email us at the People's Clinic 4, which is the number 4, TOM, at gmail.com, and get on our mailing list so that you can know when the program is launching. And you can also call in 516-387-1741, make a note of it, or go to the show page as previously described and enter our chat room. So we are past the top of the hour now. I'm going to play a little bit of Hamza al-Din on our way out, and we'll entrance with him on the next program. This is Ya Elohim, Dr. Jatta. Any closing comments?
Yes, just remember that not only is there a physical part of the body, but there's also a body clock. In the mornings from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock is the time of the lungs, and the colon is from 5 until 7. So that's a good time to get up, do some breathing, walking, stretching, and so forth, and be in rhythm with the day. Catch you next week.
All right. Thank you.